there, Green Future Growers. Thanks for joining us today. If you're new to the show, I hope you'll subscribe on iTunes or your favorite Android app, and let's get growing. Hi.
Hi. Cool. We finally connected.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm having the best day. I have the best life. I'm so lucky.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I feel the same.
Cool.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Huh?
I said happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. It's crazy St. Patrick's Day this year on a Saturday. You're my third interview today.
Wow.
And I thought they were originally going to be 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and 10 o'clock, but then you reminded me that it was 10 o'clock your time. So that gave me a little break. And my first interview was this guy who has a business called Life Without Plastic. And then my last interview was with a listener. So there's nothing like talking to a listener who's your avatar and somebody who really, you know, gets you and, you know, that you're trying to help. And she's in my Facebook group and just like, that's the best. Like, I think I don't know if I've even had 10 listeners on yet, but they are just the perfect guest for my show because they share exactly what other guests want to learn. And she just dropped tons of golden seeds. And now you're on to talk to us about cooking the delicious, healthy food that we grow in our gardens. And so, and then I have to, like, I know you're never supposed to assume things, but you just look like you're probably one of those rock star millennials I'm always talking about. Like, are you a millennial, 1980 to 1995? Are you younger?
I am. Yes, I'm a millennial.
Awesome. Well, I love millennials on my show. And the more I'm actually bought the domain name rockstarmillennial.com. I like went into Create Space and like got an ISBN for a book I'm going to write maybe called Rockstar Millennial, because I talk to the best millennials on the planet, I think. I mean, the ones I talk to are the hardest working, care about social things, care about the planet, love technology like I do. We're raised by baby boomers. I have one person complain, and I had another guy. It really kind of started because this one listener, he's like, every time I hear you talk about those rock star millennials, it reminds me of this. And it's this like viral video on Facebook to like the song, Oblada, I think is the song he sings it to. And he totally disses millennials. And so I wrote my own song back to him about why I love millennials. And I think you're probably like number 70 or number 75 out of, or somewhere 65, somewhere in there of, I'm on your episode 232. So that's how many guests I've had, but like 75 of them have been rockstar millennials that are so far from lazy. Like, they have great kids. They work hard. I mean, Mandy Gerth just posted on Instagram, her and her husband are feeding 500 families for 26 weeks. 500 families, and their CSA packages, I mean, their food is like melt in your mouth, super delicious. You can't beat it. And one of the things I loved about her is she talked about, and then she shows the picture, she's like the ultimate Tetris game, and she's got all her beds on index cards and what she's going to grow. And she just talked about data. And one year their goal was to grow 20% more produce using the same amount of labor. Or grow the same amount of produce using 20% less labor was what it was when they were first starting out. And, you know, she talks about the curve, like my husband and I are going through, if we ever even sell for market, like who knows where we'll end up, but like from just a backyard garden to like, he built what I call the mini farm. Like my husband's goal is to grow enough produce for us that we don't really have to buy produce. And he's been huge. Like this year, I've been like actually taking pictures of the produce I buy. I kind of put it all together when it's going down on the checkout counter. And like, I take a picture of the produce, and from like August till November, Christmas, I didn't have to hardly take any pictures, like maybe one or two that whole time. Like, we didn't buy produce. Like, I had lettuce. I had, well, part of it was I grew a little windowsill garden myself, which was a big thing for me because I'm not really the gardener. And I finally replanted it. One of my students actually planted for me. It was so sweet. And he like just did the best job. And I know he's going to be so excited because I took it to my apartment. He hasn't seen it, like how much it's grown. I wish I could have in my classroom. This is the first year I have a classroom with no windows. It's really weird. It's all artificial light. And I brought in one lamp, which is nice. And just we do Anyway, so having that lettuce grow, just, I don't know, just trying to grow enough produce that we really don't have to. And so he really, that mini farm really produced last year, and I know this year it's going to produce more. So I forgot what I was talking about completely. I've like had this day. Another thing I started today, like last night I got home, 2 weeks ago I had to go to this thing called the Science Action Club and learn these 12 lessons to teach birds. And I'm just designing this website called Science, Awesome Science Action Club, where kids can learn about birds and do these 12 lessons that are aligned with the Common Core. But the best part about it is my kids are so excited about it. I've been doing it with my fourth graders just as a test project. And I actually just got the kit yesterday. I didn't even get to open it. It came to school, these two giant boxes, but just a lot of the projects you can just download off the internet. They're so fun. So that's why I'm stoked today. Plus it's gorgeous out and there's like a million birds at the bird feeder.
Oh, it's pouring rain here.
It is. I just talked to this woman in Idaho who was also pouring rain there. So, nope, it's gorgeous. There's snow kind of melting. My husband was raining. I have this amazing life. I live right next to Glacier National Park in the Rocky Mountains in Montana.
Okay, cool. That's awesome. I'm from Colorado originally.
Oh, you are? Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so anyway, that's how my day's going. I might keep a little of this in the pre-chat because I always like it to kind of sound natural, but I do always like to tell my guests in the beginning. It's super easy to edit. If you want to change an answer, you want me to take anything out, you want to feed the dog, let the cat out, get your spouse a cup of coffee, just like whatever. It's super easy to edit. And do you have any questions for me?
No, I don't think so.
All right, I'll just interview you. Oh my gosh, I'm so tongue-tied this morning. So daylight savings hits me like a wall, and I will complain about it until November and we change back. Like, I just never adjust. And on top of daylight savings this week, this morning, it was like springing ahead again because my husband, and so I teach on the other side of the mountain, so I get home Friday night and then I have to stay over there during the week. And so this morning I get up and about 7 o'clock, like 45 minutes before 10 after 7, before my next interview is going to start, my first interview of the day, he mentions, you know, the bedroom clock hasn't been changed and it's really 7 and not 6. And like, I kind of was paying attention, but not. So I feel like I've lost another hour all over again this morning besides. So I'm a little tongue-tied. Plus, like, when I haven't done an interview in a while, getting back on my mic is always like, what do I do again? And then on top of all of that, I have this new Zoom program. And there are no sound waves for me to keep an eye on to know that I'm really recording. And that kind of throws me off. But I did find out this week, thanks to my amazing podcasting group, how to split the tracks. So you're on a track and I'm on a track, which is so nice because then if I cough or I make a mistake or my phone goes off, I can delete that out. Whereas before, when I first switched to Zoom, which I had to do in January, just finally Skype. It's not Skype. It's like some other obscure third-party software app. I thought they disappeared. Apparently they didn't disappear. They started charging and it's like $99 for life, which is probably totally worth it. But anyway, why when yeah. Zoom is free? So you can't beat that. Yeah. So my guests always tell me, my listeners always tell me, you talk too much, let your guests talk. So from here on out, I'll basically be quiet unless I have something to like tie in or questions to ask or want further stuff, and it'll be all about you.
Okay.
Are you ready? Good.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, here we go. Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast today. It is still Saturday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, 2018. This is my third interview today, an amazing Saturday. I'm having an awesome day. And I have another rock star millennial on the line from Los Angeles, California. Chef Bai, oh my gosh, I should have asked you. Okay, is it Bai? Bai? How do you say it?
Chef Bai. So my name's Bailey. So Chef Bai, yeah. And I am actually in San Diego.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll be quiet now. Welcome to the show, Bailey.
Thank you. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you too.
All right. It's an awesome one. Well, San Diego, your website doesn't say Los Angeles? I thought it said Los Angeles. I'm sorry. Well, no. San Diego, that's where the guy who started my podcast was from, or he's from Maine, but then they were in San Diego for a really long time before they moved to Puerto Rico. So I've heard a ton about San Diego, a place I had never really heard about before I started listening to the podcast. So lots of entrepreneurs out there, and my listeners love entrepreneurs that are visionaries and forward thinking, and then a rock star millennial on top. So tell us about yourself. Like, did you grow up in, well, actually I'll ask a question about your very first gardening experience, but do you just want to tell us a little bit about yourself first?
Sure. Yeah, no problem. I'm originally from Boulder, Colorado. And then I have been cooking ever since I was a little kid. You know, I learned how to cook from, you know, my grandmother and just kind of watching cooking videos and stuff. And I moved to San Francisco to culinary school right out of high school. Fresh out of high school, big city, San Francisco. Ended up getting my degree at Le Cordon Bleu and just kind of learning about the industry through experience there, and started private chefing and, you know, living that big city lifestyle. And then eventually I ended up moving back to Colorado and going back to school for nutrition, which I then, you know, started incorporating nutrition into my business, which is kind of what's led me to living in San Diego. And, you know, the biggest thing I love about San Diego is that there's a farmer's market every single day of the week. So, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Nice. Well, wow. There's so many questions I could ask right there. Like the Cordon Bleu to study food. And then like, how did you end up going back for nutrition? And I just have to say, I have like a really fond spot in my heart for Boulder, Colorado. We have been there many times. My husband was originally grew up in Colorado, and we've just somehow ended up going through there. And there's like right by the college, there were some really cool shops where people were pretty kind to me at one point. So
yeah, Boulder's amazing. It's home for me always. So yeah.
So, but what ended, what, like, how did you end up going back there for nutrition to use into your cooking? Like, do you want to tell us a little bit about
that? Yeah. So I actually personally suffer from some pretty intense health issues. I have a degenerative disc disorder in my back, and I also have endometriosis. And so my chronic pain kind of got to a point where I couldn't really manage it living in San Francisco anymore. And so I ended up moving back home with my parents, which was a very humbling experience, you know, living in a big city, owning my own business, and then kind of just going home to mom and dad saying, help me. And I ended up going to a doctor that told me he wanted to take one of my discs out. And because of some of the nerve damage I had in my back, he gave me a 75% chance of never walking again. And so I basically told him, I kind of laughed at him. And I was like, okay, well, you're not going to decide my future. I'm going to opt out of the surgery. And that's initially what made me decide to go to school for nutrition, because my life was so built around food that I knew that if I tried hard enough, I could help heal myself and help heal my pain. And so that's exactly what I did. So I went to a couple different nutrition schools. Actually, it took me a couple tries to find one that I liked. And then, you know, I learned all about the psychology of why we eat what we eat. I learned about, you know, fresh foods and, you know, organic and all these things that I had kind of, you know, had little golden nugget up. I didn't really know in detail. And so that's exactly what I did. I healed myself through eating, and at least I healed my back pain. And I actually recently, a few months ago, had another surgery for my endometriosis. But nutrition is like basically saved my life, and I'm super grateful for, you know, all those experiences to be able to open up my own eyes and to teach myself, and then in turn help teach other people on how to heal their own health ailments through eating healthy.
Wow. Well, you know, I also, like, it's so crazy. I've bought 3 domain names this week, because I also, besides buying rockstarmillennial.com last week, bought Life Happens For You, because my motto for 2018 is life happens for you, not to you. And it sounds like life really happened for you, because you're taking all of these amazing things. You're probably offering like so many golden seeds to my listeners out there, inspiration, whether they feel this way or having going through something like this in their life, or they know somebody who's going through this in their life, or if they're a market farmer, somebody's going to come up to their, you know, stand this summer, and they're going to direct them to this interview and to your website because they heard this today, because I mean, how that's just amazing to be able to heal yourself. And like this doctor wanted to do surgery and told you you had a 75% chance of walking again. And when listeners go to your website and see the pictures of how gorgeous you are and just how, you know, vibrant you look and healthy you look, they're going to like, it's just going to, you know, it's just right there. It's so obvious. Like you just really have done something. So before we go further, I guess I should just like, I usually always ask, like, what was your first gardening experience? Like, who were you with? What'd you grow? Like, said you were with your grandmother? Is that right?
Well, so it was my first cooking experience, but my mother actually is like such a kick-ass gardener. So I grew up in Colorado, about, let's say, like 20 minutes east of Boulder. And so we grew up on a couple acres, you know, a couple barns. And my mom, like, every single year, her garden would just get bigger and better and more amazing. And you know, she could only garden in the summertime, obviously. And so she would bring like all of her plants, like the ones that were in pots, at least inside the house. So then like in the wintertime, there was just potted plants everywhere. It was pretty awesome. But I just remember we would do like little interviews, like on our little video camera, like walking around, and I would talk about like all the herbs and the tomatoes and the squash and stuff. And my mom would just sit out there every single morning for hours, just like replanting things and planting new things. And she would get my dad on new projects and making him, you know, build new beds. And you know what I mean? Like it's always something. And even to this day, it's still like the whole summer is just filled with her gardening.
Well, maybe she'll be a guest and talk to me about gardening one of these days.
Yeah, I love that. Suggest that to you. That's her like biggest love. She owns a super successful business, but I think if she could quit everything and just garden every day, she would.
Well, cool. So is that how you learned how to grow garden organically then? Or how to cook like with organic food from your mom then probably?
Yeah, my mom cooks a few things really, really well. She wasn't like the chef of the family, I don't think. I mean, I guess I would say I was always the chef of the family because I was always cooking since I was a little kid because I would kind of teach myself. But yeah, my mom was super big on organic, like to the point where even now if she sees neighbors spraying, you know, their grass with pesticides, she'll go up and tell them to stop, you know, mainly for the dogs graze on the grass. And, you know, we like to have, you know, the bees happy and the birds and stuff, and the more chemicals that are sprayed, it kind of like messes with the whole ecosystem. And my mom's just like super, super, super about just like keeping everything as it's supposed to be, you know? So, yeah.
I love this. I'm so excited to tell my students about it because it sounds like you were probably about there. So I'm teaching fourth grade this year. So like they're about 9, 10. And it sounds like when you were their age, you were already like out there making videos, and I can picture my kids doing like a lot of the things that you're doing. And it's been a big direction in your life. And I was even telling one of my students the other day, you know, by the time you graduate high school in 2026, and go to college, you know, everything's going to be more video. And the most important thing is that you understand and your comprehension is strong. And that just made her feel a little bit brighter. Cause my kids are like, it's just this fight between, I want to be on the computer. I want to be on the computer. I want my Chromebook out. No, you can't have your Chromebook out now. What website are you on? Get off of Cool Math Games, because I don't like Cool Math Games. I don't think it's enough math. And I'm like, get on Khan Academy. There's some math. And just, anyway, I'll try not to get off topic there. So, I don't know. What do you want to talk about next? Like, do you want to talk about your business that you started and how you ended up back in San Diego? Do you want to talk about like your healing process and how that got you to cooking, or where do you want to go?
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about my business and my healing process because I think they're kind of one and the same, you know?
It sounds like they're very intertwined.
I feel like you teach best what you most need to learn. And so for me personally, I am like constantly on a path to healing. Like I said, I had, you know, surgery 2 months ago now for my endometriosis. And it's been like this whole new process of learning, like, okay, now what does my body need to feel better? You know, because my body is completely different than it was 2 months ago. And so now I'm kind of opened my eyes up to this different kind of lifestyle in a sense. And so, yeah, my business is basically, I you know, teach others how to cook healthy food kind of straight from the source. So, you know, you kind of let ingredients speak for themselves, which is perfect when you're talking about organic gardening, because you don't necessarily want to alter ingredients too much, because they taste the best when they're, you know, just out of the ground, and they're the best for you when they haven't traveled super far. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's kind of the point of my business, whether I'm teaching cooking classes or I'm doing long distance health coaching with a client who happens to live, you know, across the country, or if I'm teaching or cooking on a retreat, it's all kind of the same vibe of helping heal yourself through food. And, you know, we all have things we need to heal from. You know, I don't think anyone is exempt from that. Being human, it's kind of part of the human condition.
Can I ask you, and if you don't want to answer this, or if, like, I don't know, but, like, so I'm going through this, like, crazy thing because I'm going through, like, menopause. I just turned 50 this year, and, like, in January, my doctor gave me hormones, and I went to the doctor yesterday, and I have gained 12 pounds since December, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is totally not cool. But the hormones are definitely helping. Like, it's been huge. Like, my personality has really... I can just feel like a huge improvement in a lot of ways. So I don't want to stop taking them. I was really hesitant to go on them. Like, my doctor first wanted me to take them when I had my hysterectomy back in 2011. And yeah. I didn't, but just some things happened this year. And then, like, I don't know if you have any suggestions or something like that. Yeah, I don't know if this is under your line of...
Yeah. So, I actually have had some really crazy experiences with hormones myself, and my doctors pushed me to go on hormones. And I actually have just recently detoxed and gotten rid of all the hormones out of my body because it just doesn't, like, work with me. I gain weight, you know, I have terrible acne when I'm on them. I'm kind of crazy, like, kind of being, you know, not the right word. I'm really crazy when I'm on these hormones. And so, I've actually detoxed myself from them because they just don't work. And I do also know that, like, taking hormones is kind of a big business, especially when it comes to pharmaceuticals. So it is just something to look out for.
I know my mom and my best friend are both like, are you sure you should do this and stuff? And, like, and I didn't for a long time, like I said, but then I don't know, at Christmas I had to do something and I tried them. Now, the other thing is, and this is what I was telling my doctor yesterday too, is I quit drinking at the exact same time. So I don't even know if it is the hormones or those. Plus I started taking that progesterone wild yam cream, mm-hmm. like every 3 weeks, and I don't know what to think about that. And then it also has that crazy label, this product is not approved for use in California on it. And I wrote to them and they were like, no, this is natural wild yam cream, it's not actual progesterone, we have to put that on there. But I'm almost like, gosh, this, it smells really good, but is this like smoking a cigarette? Like, I've just been like, oh my gosh, and what have I put my body through these last 2 months? But
it's hard because you just, like, it's hard. You don't know until you try, you know, like, you, it's all trial and error. And I would just say with taking, especially synthetic hormones, like, there are a lot of other ways you can go about doing it, especially if you're just doing it for, you know, menopause symptoms and, you know, trying to combat those and kind of feel like yourself. You know, acupuncture is doing it regularly is super, super helpful. Watching what you eat, you know, trying to stay away from dairy is super important, especially when you're dealing with hormones. There's a lot of hormones in dairy, and so it can kind of completely alter your body chemistry. And if you cleanse from eating dairy, it just kind of, you feel kind of like a different person, to be honest. And then eating meat also is something that I found, not eating meat, my hormones are so much more leveled out. And granted, yes, I'm on a totally different, like, phase of life than you are, but talking hormones, you know, you want to get rid of anything that has added hormones in it. And the meat that we eat, even if it's organic, always has added hormones in it.
That was what I was going to ask you, because I've been wanting to get, there's a local girl who sells fresh cow's milk. And like, cause I don't know if quitting dairy 100% would be the thing for me, but I was thinking, like, if I got, and it kind of just ties into, like, the cruelty-free living, like, more, and made our own cheese. And I don't know, it seems like it would take a lot of milk to make butter. But that seems to be, like, one that Mike and I, my husband, because he always makes homemade bread, and it seems like we buy a lot of butter. But my best friend said, you know, if you're going to buy butter, you should buy organic butter. I can't even afford the cheap regular butter. Forget organic butter is not going to, but I was thinking if I got milk from this girl, But is that also, you think, like, if it's a cow that she has at her house, it probably doesn't have those hormones, would it?
It's still dairy, you know? And, like, nothing is forever. I like to say that, especially when I talk to clients about stopping consuming something that they really like. Like, I personally love cheese more than anything ever. Like, I love it. But I had to stop. In order to go off the hormones, I had to completely change my diet just to give myself a break, you know? And I would just offer doing some sort of elimination diet. So, you know, for 2 weeks, you stop eating meat, dairy, and let's say, like, for example, all added sugar, right? Because that can kind of alter your body chemistry too. And just for 2 weeks, you go on like a vegan, no sugar diet. And then after the 2 weeks, you kind of see how you feel. You do a food diary through all of it. You kind of track how you're feeling every single day. And then, you know, on the third week, you add back in meat. And then you kind of see how you're feeling, you know, hormonally, how your stomach's feeling, how you're sleeping during that week that you've just added in meat. And then the next week, the fourth week, you add in dairy, and then the same thing. And then you can kind of see, just by doing a little experiment on yourself, if you are having reactions to meat and dairy, because there's no real blood test or there's no test that you can take from the doctor that's going to tell you if you're having a reaction. Like, the only way to know is if you test it on yourself.
But that sounds a lot more doable to only have to, like, give it up for 2 weeks.
Right.
Like, that actually sounds really doable. And I found this awesome podcast called The No Meat Athlete that I just love. Because I'm trying to train to run a half a marathon in July. Like, my official training date would be April 1st to go into the actual plan. But I've just been kind of trying to run at the gym 3 days a week, or at least walk at the gym or do something. Daylight savings is kind of throwing me off. But so 2 weeks, no meat. All right.
No meat, no dairy, you know, just sticking to, like, be vegan. And just, you know, there's tons of resources out there. Like, the Minimalist Baker, she has a really, really amazing website packed full of vegan recipes, and they're super easy. They all take like 30 minutes or less, 10 recipes or less. And she's one of my best resources for veganism, especially when because I'm not full vegan at all, but when I'm trying to detox from hormones, or when I'm going through something, or when I just want to give my body like a break, I kind of resort to her recipes, or of course I make up my own, but that's one of my favorite resources. But you'll find too, if you feel super great in those 2 weeks, you won't necessarily want to go back to eating the way that you did before. You know, your body won't crave the same type of foods that it did when it's used to, like, specific eating patterns that you did before you did the elimination diet. And now everyone's different, but I can guarantee you that you're going to feel different, and you're going to have different thoughts about eating meat and dairy after you do an elimination diet.
Oh, this is awesome. I love my podcast. This is so cool. I'm so glad you came on today. I know we had a while to connect, but like I told you, like, if I hadn't gone to the doctor yesterday, it would have been totally different. Like, we had to talk today. And what about your website? Let's talk about your awesome. Well, let me just quickly, before we go there, I just have to ask, like, have you heard of that Oshi Glows website?
Yes, I have. Oshi Glows. Yeah, I have heard of it actually.
Another friend of mine had mentioned that she gets a lot of vegan recipes there. But anyway, let's talk about your website that listeners can go to and check out. And do you have recipes on your website? I forgot. I'm sorry.
I do have some recipes. Yes. My website is more of a place to find me and contact me and all those things. But I do have a bunch of recipes on there, and I'm, you know, adding more every week. It's not one of those websites that there's like 1,000 different recipes on there, you know, just a few of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. So what is one of your favorites?
One of my favorites, I'm actually going to make after we talk. It's this chocolate zucchini muffin that I'm obsessed with, that all my clients are obsessed with. There's no flour in it. It's just, the ingredients are banana, zucchini, almond butter, eggs. Honey is the sweetener, and there's not too much in there. Flaxseed meal, baking soda, and raw cacao, and that's it. And these muffins are insane. I make them for my clients' kids, and they eat tons of them up, and they're like full protein and really good things. And I, you know, my boyfriend likes to have them in the house at all times. So,
did you say cacao? Like, is that, what's that?
Yeah, cacao is basically chocolate. So it's just the raw form of chocolate with, you know, no sugar added, nothing like that.
Okay. Now, listener, eggs aren't considered vegan, so these aren't vegan muffins, right?
They're not vegan muffins, but you can actually make a vegan egg replacer for a muffin with flaxseed meal. So it's 1 to 3 parts. You do 1 tablespoon or 1 heaping tablespoon of flaxseed meal with 3 tablespoons of water. And you just mix that up and you set it out on your counter for like 10 minutes and it will gelatinize. And you can use that as 1 egg in replacement in a recipe, like in a baking recipe.
Oh my gosh. I hope that works for my husband because I have a whole thing of flaxseed meal in my fridge. Mm-hmm. Plus he's always like, I'm out of eggs.
Yeah,
and he makes a lot of muffins and that would be healthier muffins too. He makes the most delicious huckleberry chocolate chip muffins.
Yeah, that sounds so good.
But yeah, cool. Flaxseed with water. I love that.
Yeah, it's super simple. And it's a great cheap way to replace an egg in a recipe. And you'll find too that if you do the elimination diet, you're going to spend a lot less money on food, cutting out meat and dairy. So if you are on a budget, to all those listeners out there, like committing to a couple of days of veganism or vegetarianism is a great way to save money.
It is. I always thought the opposite. I thought it was it would be more expensive.
No, not necessarily. I mean, for me personally, I always buy, buy meat, I always buy organic meat. I like to, support local farmers and, it's expensive to raise animals. It's not cheap. And you'll find that, when you're not spending that extra $10 on that chicken for the meal and you're just eating veggies and grains and healthy fats that, you spend a lot less money.
Okay. Yeah. And you're in San Diego where produce is a lot cheaper. Like yesterday I walked through the produce department here in Montana and the only thing I splurged on was broccoli because everything else was like even the non-organic vegetables. I was like, well, I can't buy that today. I'm not buying that today. And hopefully I'll maybe find a different store that's cheaper, but I was at the cheapest general store. So produce in winter in Montana is not that inexpensive, but that's part of why Mike's trying to grow more. And like one of the things I do in winter is like I put pickled beets on my salads instead of tomatoes just trying to eat more locally what's in season here.
And I do forget that, I am super spoiled now living in San Diego where we do have a farmer's market literally every 365 days a year. It's an actual law that in the county of San Diego, there has to be a farmer's market every day somewhere. So, we're definitely a little bit spoiled because we are in Mexico. It's always summer here. The fact that it's raining today is super weird. Yeah, there is that. So it is, it's true when you eat meat and you live more inland and you live where there's winter, economically, it makes more sense to eat it during the winter because it's colder, it's cheaper, all those things. But now that we're getting into warmer months, the idea of eating a couple days vegetarian is definitely not that far-fetched.
Yeah. And I call myself, I don't know, what do they consider me, a pescatarian? Like I eat fish and dairy. Yeah. I don't actually eat meat myself, but, what was I going to say? The majority of my listeners are in California. So the people who are listening to this probably have access to that fresh produce and stuff. And then, I mean, and my listeners are all over, probably Montana is the smallest place because we have the smallest number of people in general. Although I do have a lot of Montana listeners, but yeah, California. And then I think it's like Florida, Texas, New York is where the majority of my listeners in general, and then Canada and Australia. And people going to my website are Canadians and people from Russia, which is kind of weird to see when I go into Google Analytics. But lately, there's been a lot of people in Russia going to my website, which I think is interesting. What people do on my website, I don't know, because they leave like immediately. Unless like they're downloading it and it counts as them leaving. Like my friend Dacia says she pushes play and then kind of minimizes the window. And I don't know if Google considers that them leaving. Because maybe that's what it is, and then it's playing in the background. That's all I can think, because my bounce rate is like 90 seconds and I can't figure out what people are doing there for 90 seconds. And the one thing in February, I had 1500 visitors, which is huge for me for a month, And I did notice there were more returning visitors than I've seen in the past. Usually my new visitors are the huge numbers. So that's the thing too. So I don't know. I can't figure it out. But one of these days, like I was saying earlier to someone, but the day Oprah goes there, you want it to be high quality. And my website could use some work anyway. So when it is super high quality, people are going to... it's going to be all good. Right now, people listen to my podcast, and that's where my success is. And that's where we're at today, talking on the show. So what else do you want to tell us?
Let's see. I was just kind of looking over the questions that you were sending me. I actually just started my own, because I live in an apartment. So I live kind of by, you know, the beach. I don't have like a yard or anything, but I do have some huge decks. So I actually just started my own herb garden, which is actually doing super well. But I had a question for you. So there is some sort of animal or something that's eating specific herbs, and like I'll replant them and then it will only go for like the dill or like my edible flowers or whatever. Do you have any idea what that could be?
No, but I will find out. Something that's just eating the dill and what else? Like it's
just eating dill. It will pick succulents out of the dirt, but then like won't eat them, you know, because it's a succulent. It will also eat edible flowers, and it likes to kind of graze on the chives a little bit too. So I have no idea. And I thought this was a perfect place to ask because I'm stumped. My mom's stumped. Maybe it's a seagull or something. So
anyway, like it actually like bites the leaf. It's not like an insect. I guess no. I was thinking it was an insect. It's like a bird or a chipmunk or something.
Like it actually like specifically knows exactly what herb it wants.
And it sounds like it's kind of an oniony dill type of flavor.
Yeah, but it also eats all my edible flowers too. So I don't know.
Well, listeners, if there's somebody out there that knows the answer, definitely contact Bailey at Chef Bay, or email is info@chefbay.com, and it's like BAI, right?
It's actually dot kitchen. So it's info@chefbai.kitchen. Yeah. No.com.
And see, our minds just automatically see that because I've entered your email. I don't know how many times. And because we've been connecting, because we were supposed to do this interview like 3 weeks ago, and then one of us, I had that free the seeds thing, and I had to cancel, and then last week, and so we're finally talking today, but we decided that's good. Well, we'll have to find out about that, and I'll let you know, and I'll put the answer in the show notes once we find out. If a listener lets me know if they know, because like I said, there's a lot of people in California. The person I'm thinking of that might know is I talked to this woman, Nell Foster, who's from kind of around your area. And she has an awesome website. I should replay her episode so listeners can hear that, because it was like way back in the beginning. Like I think she's in like number 6 or number 10 or somewhere. Okay. When I first started a few years ago. How about, what's your favorite garden recipe? Like what's your favorite recipe from the garden?
Let's see. I just, you know, I like making like super simple salads and things like that. I love making like at the end of the summer, I love making all sorts of different types of salsas. So like whether you do like a strawberry jalapeno salsa or like a tomatillo type of salsa, those are some of my favorite like super easy things to whip up. I also love putting fresh herbs in like a simple rice pilaf. So when you're kind of, when you saute the onions first with some oil or butter, whatever you like to use for fat. And then, you know, you could throw leeks in there too, or some fennel. And then, you know, you toast the rice and you add some veggie stock, you know, that you make from vegetables that you grow in your own garden. And then you kind of let your rice finish. And then once your rice is finished, you just throw tons of fresh herbs in there. You don't chop them fine or anything. You just kind of rip them apart and have like those big chunks of herbs. And that's like heaven to me. And you eat it even with like a little bit of like Greek yogurt on there. And it sounds kind of weird, but it's really, really good.
I've been doing a lot of that lately, putting yogurt in my like soups and things that I normally wouldn't. But what was I asking? Do you have videos like of you cooking? Because that, I gotta say, sounded a little bit complicated for me and like way over my cooking skills.
Yeah.
No, toasting rice.
My mom is actually my biggest supporter in me getting a YouTube video channel going. So I have a couple of them right now, and I'm working on getting more of them.
So is it like you go to YouTube and search?
It's just Chef Bae. Yeah. So I think I only have two videos up there right now, but I have a couple more that I'm editing, and my goal is to, you know, have a couple added every week from now on. So yeah.
Awesome. I'm gonna start I've been trying to get Mike to do that. I was like, you know, because he just started planting his first broccoli sprouts and his first pepper plants, and I was like, you know, like, just pretend you're sending it to me and just take like a short 15-30 second video and post it on Instagram or post it on Facebook and I'll share it. Like, if he would do that like one or two times a day, that would really build our social media and get the word out there and find other, because like one thing that's been driving me lately is I just found, not only did I find the No Meat Athlete, I found this other Not Your Average Runner podcast that I'm so in love with. I found this Truth for Teachers that's for me. And I'm just like so frustrated with their listeners, because when listeners don't leave reviews and don't share their stuff, other people don't share it. And I can't find it. Like, I wish I would have found these podcasts years ago. And so it's always good to leave reviews and share things. But it's hard to get people up there to, like, it's hard for me to get my husband to post his videos on YouTube. So I hear you. We just have a very few on our The Organic Gardener podcast YouTube.
Yeah, it's definitely something that, you know, I need to kind of take more time for to do, you know, because there's just so many things going on. And it's just kind of like, okay, this is going to be a new priority. And it's just, it's a new realm for me. You know, Instagram is kind of my main platform.
It is.
It's where I get most of my business from. And yeah, it's kind of where I share most of my recipes and stuff. So for me, it's just kind of growing and getting on other social media platforms. And, you know,
probably maybe you have videos on Instagram, because like, isn't Instagram stories really big these days that I just haven't figured out? And like, Instagram, is there Instagram Live even? There probably is, right?
There is Instagram Live. I have done a few lives, and I have like, I'm always posting whatever I'm making that day on my stories, and all my like posts have, you know, the recipes and the captions and stuff. So if you find me on Instagram, you'll see tons of recipes that I'm constantly posting, and just really simple stuff too that you can make in 2 minutes, like snacks and things like that.
Cool. Well, I'm definitely going to go there, because that was something the doctor told me yesterday. She's like, eat more healthier snacks throughout the day, so you're not just famished when you get home at the end of the day. And also, she really gave me kind of a little dieting lecture too, because she was not taking it that it was the hormones' fault. She's like, I mean, you might, but she's like, you're gonna be fine. She really encouraged me to like keep training for the marathon and running. Like I said, I have my two New Year's resolutions. One was to walk or run 365 miles this year total, and then the other one was to reduce my plastic intake, use plastic. And after talking to this guy this morning who has a business called Life Without Plastic, I'm wondering if a lot of my hormone problem is because for so many years I ignored my husband, who said, quit using those plastic bottles, quit drinking water out of those plastic bottles. Like, I almost always had a case of water in my car, a case of water in my classroom, and a case of water in my fridge at all time, because for me, it wasn't as much the water as just the convenience, the container. Like, I like to think that I'm going to refill my bottle all the time, but it just didn't happen a lot. And sometimes I just, in the frantic life of, you know, convenience, just being able to grab a bottle of water. And I definitely have been more dehydrated this year than I would like to be, because I don't fill that water enough. But I've been like, sometimes I'll ask my teacher helper to run down to the water. Like, at least if I have the jar in my classroom, drinking, that helps. And one of my kids will maybe go fill it up for me. They have like a really cool water fountains in our schools that say how many, it like keeps track of the number of water bottles you're saving and how much water it filters the water. And it's really good water at our school. So,
well, that's good. Yeah. And plastic is terrible. I mean, that's the problem with plastic though, is convenience. And that's like kind of the way that they've, you know, made everyone constantly be consuming plastic. Even me, I'll kind of notice something that I'll buy and I'll be like, oh my god, this has plastic, like such unnecessary plastic on it, you know. And that's kind of, that's a whole nother conversation, but yeah, I feel you.
And when you work in like a supermarket and you see that the big pallets come wrapped in like a box of cellophane, you know, like every single pallet that comes in is all this cardboard full of plastic wrap and styrofoam to protect all these things. And like you see the back end of a store someday. Like I was just thinking yesterday, this is my 53rd job I think I've had, and I have seen a lot of different things. And like the packaging that comes in a thing that you see in the store, you don't even realize because it's unpacked before it ever even gets to you how much of that is there.
Right, exactly. Well, and even the restaurant industry, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do consulting for restaurants all the time. And I mean, the waste and the amount of plastic is just something that's so deeply rooted when it comes to like purveyors and it comes to even farmers. And, you know, it's just so deeply rooted in our society and in our system that it's just, I don't even know what it's going to take to change it, but...
It's going to take you rockstar millennials who just naturally do it and aren't too lazy to recycle your water or, you know, work on a farm or care for our planet. And those are the amazing millennials I talk to, the ones who are like, I'm just going to do this because I care about the future for my children that I'm raising. And I want to be a good example for my children that I'm raising. And those are the amazing millennials I get to talk to.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, I saw, you know, one of your questions that you sent me, like, what is there one change you'd like to see for a greener world, or what do you feel is a crucial issue? I just think that, you know, buying local as much as possible is like such a great way to reduce your carbon footprint. It's such a great way to support, you know, our local farmers. You're not supporting, you know, big pharma, big business, all those things. And I think that is like one of the most important things you can do. Like every time you buy something, you're kind of voting in a way, you know, we're voting with our dollars, and to be able to vote and, you know, vote for your farmer next door and vote for these tiny little companies that are trying to survive, especially when you have big companies like Monsanto and Bayer just kind of like breathing down their necks at every single turn, every single dollar counts, you know? So that is probably like my one biggest piece of advice, is to just, you know, it might take shopping around, it might take you to going to a few different grocery stores or waiting till that farmer's market day or whatever it takes, but it's definitely worth it, you know. And then you can create these relationships with these farmers, and then, you know, once they know that you care, they'll give you a better deal on produce. And so, you know, everybody kind of wants to help each other out if you put that effort in.
And also the more, you know, CSA members they have maybe, or the more they know they're gonna definitely sell at the farmer's market, the more successful they are. And the more farmers you can have at a market, like they say, the more farmers make a market. You don't want a farmer's market with just one market. So working cooperatively and just supporting that nature. And I love going to the farmer's market. I'm sure listeners do too. What I want to ask you is, speaking of spending money, what can listeners spend their money on your website? Like, what services do you provide? Because I don't think we've talked about that yet. And you have, like you said, you can coach people around the United States, or...
Yeah, so I have a couple things. Like probably the most inexpensive thing on my website is I wrote an ebook, and so it's all about green smoothies. And so that's kind of answering another question you had too, like one of my favorite gardening recipes. A green smoothie a day keeps the doctor away. I swear by it. you know, just packing your morning full of this like green smoothie that you can put spinach, kale, celery, broccoli sprouts, like kind of whatever you have, and, you know, some sort of really delicious fleshy fruit, oranges, mangoes, depending on where you live, and then, you know, finding a good source of protein. So that's what my ebook is, and that's available on my website.
Will you talk about good sources of protein?
Yeah.
Because somebody was just like, this girl I go to work with, this teacher girl, have like these Herbalife packets, and they had soy protein in them, and I was just kind of curious about, is that the best? People are always telling me hemp protein, and it infuriates me that my husband can't grow hemp protein for me. Like, what's whey in those kind of things?
I don't like soy in general. It's just a super overprocessed plants, and there's actually a lot of estrogen in soy. So for you personally, you should stay away from soy. But let's see, I really like pea protein. So that's kind of my favorite vegan protein, especially for protein powders. I don't like whey because whey comes from dairy.
Wait, kind of pea protein?
pea protein, yeah.
Like PEA, like the peas little, that you eat, like green peas?
Uh-huh, yep.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't even know you could buy that.
Yeah, it's actually like readily available. And you can buy it online for super cheap too. It's probably the cheapest form of protein that you can find. Hemp protein is really good too. There's tons of protein in like hemp hearts from hemp seeds. Mm-hmm. So you can add that into your blender. What else? Let me think. Quinoa is a super good source of protein. You know, a really good complete protein is doing like a whole grain and a bean. So that's why rice and beans in so many cultures is so popular, because it is a complete protein. What else? Eggs. Like, I love eggs still. I mean, I don't buy conventional eggs from the grocery store. Like, I specifically buy them from farmers. So mm-hmm. I'll buy them at the farmer's market, or I know people who raise chickens. And so I buy those eggs just because the yolks are so much brighter. They taste so much better, first of all. Yeah. And second of all, my stomach, like when I eat a conventional egg, I immediately get a stomach ache. But when I eat an egg from a farmer, I feel amazing. So, and I immediately get the energy from it. So that's another really good source of protein as well.
Yeah. Because we've always had chickens for the manure, and the eggs have always been bonuses on top. But right now we're down to our rooster. Like, our last hen died this winter. Aww. It was sad. And then, I don't know, I see there's chicks for sale. I've been thinking about getting chicks if we can figure out a way. I don't know. We haven't had good luck with, last year we got 4 chicks and none of them made it. And we have a lot of predators here. So, but we've always had chickens. I mean, we've had chickens for like 10 or 12 years. This is the first time in a long time we've been without chickens. So I'm sure we'll get them soon. But like you said, once you get used to those, going back the other way is really difficult, because they do taste like, there's no comparison to fresh.
There's no comparison. And I like my eggs runny. I like to do soft boiled eggs, you know, all those things. And it's really weird to do a runny egg from like a gross conventional.
And I don't know, lately I've been like seeing all these, you know, about the whole farming industry and the like cruelty free piece of it. It seems like there's been, I don't know, they're always out there, but it seems like they've been, people have been pointing them at me lately, or I've been like, they've been coming up on, you know, Amazon or Netflix or those type of shows. Like, do you want to watch this?
It's pretty crazy. Like, especially with the egg industry, you know, it'll say like free range organic, and you'll think, oh, this is a better egg than, you know, the whatever conventional. But in reality, free range organic doesn't really mean that much. You know, they're not in cages like the other eggs are, but free range organic doesn't mean that they see the light of day ever. You know, most of those chickens never see sunlight. They're still on top of each other. You know, they're still crushing each other, but they're free range, so they can freely do so. And organic means essentially that what they're being fed is organic, and they're not being fed antibiotics and stuff. So, I mean, in some sense, it's better because there's no antibiotics or added hormones or any of that in those chickens, but they're still not treated humanely. And so if you're looking, you know, let's say you don't have a farmer or whatever, look for pasture raised organic eggs, because then if it says pasture raised, there's, you know, a specific guideline of how many square feet each individual chicken needs to roam. And that also means that they're out on pasture, so they absorb the sunlight and they, you know, run around on the grass and all those things that chickens should do, you know, like they're not these machines that I think that some companies think that they are.
Wow. I'm so glad you told us all this. I didn't know there was a difference between pasture raised and free range. So that's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Free range just means that they're not in a cage, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're free.
So they are not in a cage, but they could be in a building.
Right.
Weird. All right. What else have we not talked about that you want to mention? Do you have like a book or a reading material or an internet resource you want to recommend?
Lately, I'm super, super into the magazine. It's called Thrive, and it's all plant-based recipes, but all of the recipes are super vibrant and beautiful, and it's usually at like natural grocery stores. You can find it at Whole Foods or Sprouts or just buy it online. That's probably one of my favorite resources right now, is that magazine. And their Instagram's actually really awesome too. And they're constantly reposting, you know, other user's recipes. And so you can get a lot of really cool plant-based ideas from that magazine. So that's probably one of my favorites.
I like that. I wonder if it's related to that Thrive Market, the online grocery store.
It's not actually. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I do love Thrive Market too.
You do? Do you want to tell listeners what that's about?
Yeah, so Thrive Market is essentially kind of a place to buy wholesale organic dry goods and household products. And so you're basically cutting out the middleman, which is the grocery store, and you're buying directly from the purveyor themselves. And so you get discounts, and they have their own brand as well. So you can get discounts on like adaptogens, on protein, on, you know, chickpea pasta, I'm just saying random things, on quinoa, on, you know, body wash, random things like that. And then it ships directly to your door. It is like a $60 a year membership, but it's totally worth it. It's super convenient. And I just have a little alarm on my phone to remind me to shop with Thrive. They're definitely one of my favorites. And they come to your house in just a couple days too. So it's really convenient. And then, you know, it allows you to be able to kind of not really go to the grocery store. Like, you know, you can shop on Thrive for all your dry goods, and then you just wait to go to the farmer's market, especially during the summer, for all of you that don't live in California or Florida or any of those states that are always, always warm. But, you know, you can go to the farmer's market, get all your produce and your meat there, and then you can get your dry goods online, and then that way you kind of avoid the grocery store in general, which will save you a lot of money.
And then is it $60 a year, but there's plus shipping, or that includes shipping?
I'm pretty sure it does include shipping. Yeah.
So it's kind of like the Amazon of healthy food.
Exactly. Yeah.
Ooh, I'm going to check into that.
Yeah, definitely. More. And they do, I think they do 30% off your first three orders. And they're definitely not paying me to say this for all of you listening. I think they do 30% off or some sort of percentage off, for your first three orders. So it'll kind of help you figure out if you want to join. And I'm pretty sure your first 30 days are free. So, you can just check it out, get the discount. And if you're into it, then I'll charge you the $60. And if you're not, you just, you know, don't do it.
Cool. I might sign my husband up because he hates to go to the grocery store, and he might finally decide, although he doesn't like Amazon too much either, because he thinks, because we live 2 miles off the highway, it's ridiculous that they drive up our road. But then they're going to all my neighbors anyway. I mean, they're constantly delivering packages. And for us, Amazon just works. I mean, Amazon Prime just completely works for me. I don't know how much it works for my listeners, but
Amazon. You can find tons of stuff on Amazon Prime too. I mean, that's one of my personal chef clients. I mean, that's one of their biggest sores sometimes, is they just like don't want to go to the grocery store. So I'll just do it for them. Cause it is, you know, it takes a lot of time out of your day, and a lot of thought has to go into it, especially if you're trying to budget. You know, you got to definitely have like a list.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. Well, did we talk about everything that's on your website, speaking of you going to the store for people?
Oh, yeah. No. So, oh, yeah, because we kind of talked about my ebook, and then we kind of went off on smoothies and protein and stuff. Yeah. So you can also set up just a basic consultation with me if you're, you know, interested in working with me or interested in learning from me or, you know, doing a cooking class. You can definitely contact me or set up a consultation where I can talk to you for an hour just about what's going on and give you as many to, like, golden nuggets of information that I can about your own personal journey and your personal story, and kind of, you know, help you find your little health hacks that will work for you. So that's also on my website as well. And those are kind of just the best ways to get in contact with me and work with me as well.
All right. And let's spell it one more time. It's chefbai.kitchen.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Well, anything else you want to tell listeners? I mean, health hacks that are personally designed to work for you. Can you beat that? I mean, what a golden seed that Bailey's telling us about today and offering. And just, you know, if you don't have your health, what do you have? So, and she's been through it. So she knows a lot. She studied it. She knows how to cook it and make it taste good. She's given us great ideas today. I mean, I've just been really inspired in 2018 to cook some really good food and more flavors. And Hey there, Green Future Growers. Would you like your friends and neighbors to create an organic oasis too? Would you like others in your area to learn about earth-friendly practices for their gardens and yards? If so, we would love it if you would share the Organic Gardener podcast with your local community or college radio station today. Thanks again for listening, and remember, grow local.